pray that you give them the words that we need to hear, but Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and our understanding that we may leave here differently than when we came in here. Father, we thank you so much for what's about to be and be preached out of that Bible. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, Pastor, brother.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Well, what a wonderful day the Lord's given us. I tell you, it is just a blessing to be in the house of God and to see everybody out tonight. And we thank the Lord for it. We're praying the Lord will help us during these days of revival effort, that the Lord would just work in our hearts and lives and draw us all closer to the Savior. Amen. Some of you need to be saved and you need to repent. Amen. And believe the gospel. And but I tell you what, God can give you eternal, everlasting life. That's the only kind of life he has to give, amen? Eternal, everlasting life, amen? That's the reason it changes people, amen? You get the, according to Peter, you get the divine nature of God. Don't you think that would change you? If you got the divine nature of God. And I tell you what, it's a blessing to be saved and know the Lord. I tell you, we've enjoyed the day with Brother Dan and his wonderful church here and just had a great, great day in the Lord. Amen. We thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
And good to see some of the people back out from this local church. And we do encourage you all throughout the week that you'd come over to Black Creek. It's not that far of a drive.
Right.
And come over and be in the services. Amen. And enjoy the good preaching of the Word of God. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20 is where we'll take our thought for the message tonight. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now let me say from the outset of the message, I'm not upset, amen, because that I lost an Asquith's ball, amen, yesterday. I told him, like I told Brother Tim, I said, that's some kind of version of Polish cornhole or something. <we play. laughs> But that's not it at all, amen. But I do have a message on my heart, and God needs to help warm our hearts and draw us closer to the Lord. All of us can move a little closer to the Lord. If you're saved by the grace of God, nobody's arrived. Nobody here's arrived. Nobody here's on some kind of pedestal that nobody else can attain. And so we all need to move closer to the Lord. So notice what he says to this church here. If you're physically able, we'll stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God. He's talking to a church, amen. I believe a local church here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20, where he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Father, we ask you, Lord, again, as Brother Morey's already said, that, Lord, you would open up our understanding to the words of life. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to take these truths tonight and, Lord, present them in such a way that, Lord, there will be a clear understanding in hearts and lives. Lord, we cannot do that through mannerisms or, Lord, any kind of eloquence that we may portray. But Lord, it's the Spirit of God that makes the truths alive. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just might help us tonight. Thank you for each one that's come out. Thank you for each local church that's represented here tonight. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Certainly, since the church's very inception, Christ has been the focal point, or should be the focal point. The Bible has been its roadmap and the Holy Spirit has been its guide. But now, in this last church period that we find in Revelation chapter number 3, it seems like before Christ's return that the Bible tells us that Christ is on the outside and he's wanting in. He's on the outside knocking. You know, listen, if there's something misplaced, amen, it's when Christ is on the outside of the church.
Yeah.
Somebody said, amen, that the last thing they thought that the church would need in these day and hours is a refrigerator. But the Bible says if the church of Laodicea were neither hot nor cold, they were just kind of lukewarm. They was tepid, as it were. And I'm afraid that's what we find in many of our churches, amen, just a lukewarmness. And Christ is misplaced. And he's not in the proper place, and even in our churches and many of our hearts, amen. It's interesting to note that Christ set before the church of Philadelphia an open door. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8, he says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. In the church of Philadelphia, we find an open door, but it seems now that the door has been slammed shut. Jesus is on the outside. In Revelation 3 and verse number 20, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. How quickly things change. The church of Philadelphia has an open door. The church of Laodicea has a shut door, and they have slammed the door literally in the face of the Son of God, who should have the preeminence. So Christ addresses the church. He addresses the church as the Amen. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14, I still like to hear the amens in the church. I'll preach without them, but I like to hear them. You know, it means I agree with what you're saying. It is the truth, amen. And so he says, I am the Amen. In other words, his truths are true. His promises are true and trustworthy. I'm glad we got a Bible, amen, hallelujah, that's trustworthy. Amen. Hallelujah. And he says in verse number 14, he says, and unto the church, the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen. The Amen. So he addresses them as the Amen, and then the faithful and true witness. The Bible refers to him again in Revelation 1 and verse number 5, who is the faithful witness. We notice the contrast of what this church thought of themselves and what Christ thought of them. The Bible says that this church thought they were rich. They thought they were increased with goods. They thought they had need of nothing. Now, if you don't want nothing from this meeting this week, you're going to get exactly what you want. You're going to get nothing. But if you want something from the Lord, if you come, your heart craving and seeking the Lord, you'll get something from the Lord, amen. It may be in a word of exhortation. It may be in a testimony. It may be in a song. It may be during the preaching. It may be reproof or instruction, whatever it may be. But you'll get something from the Lord if you want something. But they said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. And we have need of nothing. See, revival is this, according to D.M. Payton. A revival is the inrush of the spirit into a body that threatens to become a corpse.
Oh, yeah, sir.
I want to say that again. Because it felt good. Revival is the inrush of the spirit into a body that threatens to become a corpse.
That's good, brother. Yeah.
How many enjoy funerals? I mean, you just love going to funerals. Amen. I love going to a funeral of a saint of God. That's a little bit easier to bear. But I don't know anybody that enjoys funerals. You know, a lot of our churches, a lot of the churches I've preached at over the years, amen, they kind of resemble a funeral. Yes, they need a reviving.
Yes.
We need a reviving. You need, you may have not been saved that long, but the influence and the influx of this world and the world system will so tamp you down that you need an inrush of the Spirit of God into your life so that you can be revived. Amen. Hallelujah. We need that. Amen. Some of you look like you need it more than others. Amen. Addresses them as the beginning of the creation of God. In other words, Christ is the source of all creation. John chapter 1, the book of John, chapter number 1 and verse number 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In the book of Colossians, we find here in the book of Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 and verses 15 and 16. The Bible tells us here, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. So He addresses this church as the beginning of the creation of God. The Laodicean church was blind to its own needs and unwilling to face the truth about it, what it really needed.
Go ahead.
They said, we're rich.
Yeah.
We're increased with goods. We have our fancy, thank God. And I told Pastor Dan, this is a beautiful meeting house. That's what we call it down south. Amen. It's a meeting house. Amen.
Right.
Because listen, you realize that the body of believers is the church. Thank God for a sanctuary, amen. I don't let my kids, I don't even let my wife put gum under the pews, amen. I'm just picking on my wife, amen. Lord help us, amen. But I tell you what, I appreciate the sanctuary. But listen, a lot of people are caught up in their building. They look like they're building a kingdom here. In fact, we don't even call it a church anymore. Where I'm from, it's a campus. A campus, amen. Sounds like we're going to play ball or something, amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, hey, thank God for a church. Thank God for a beautiful sanctuary that we can come to and meet together with the people of God. But listen, if He is missing, it's all missing. And He said, we're rich. This church said, we're rich. We're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. But He said, you have a great need. You have a great need. The Laodicean church was blind to its own needs and unwilling to face the truth. And the sad thing about it is, Brother John, Laodicea produced world-renowned ISAF that was shipped all over the known world. But they were so blinded to their own need. And God said, what you need is to anoint your eyes with ISAF.
Yeah, right.
That you might, here's the ISAF.
There it is, bro.
When you come this week to the meet, amen, you'll get the ISAF. Yes, you'll get your eyes open, amen. Hallelujah. And that's what sinners need. They need their eyes open to their need, amen. They don't know their need. Some of you are sitting here religious, steeped in religion. You don't know your needs. You don't know what you need. But thank God for the heavenly ISAF. Amen. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound. Amen. I've said it here before. Amen. Back years ago, all those farmers, amen, would put bells on their cows. And all of them had a different sound. And sometime Red would get up in the thorn thicket, amen, and get lost. But listen, Farmer Brown would get out and say, I think I hear Red's bell.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Sometimes when I get hearing the preaching of the Word of God, amen, and God uses that heavenly eye salve and opens up my eyes and opens up my ears, I hear Red's bell. Yes. Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound. Amen. I'm not hung up, amen, on mannerism. Amen. I'm not hung up on theatrics. But thank God, I like to hear Red's bell. Amen. Yeah. Bless your date. Y'all catch on that later on. Y'all slow, you Yankees. Amen. Blessed are they that hear the joyful sound. Amen. I tell you what. Hey, the Word of God is joy to the ear. Amen. Hallelujah. Those are saved. They just love the Word of God. Amen. They want to hear it. They can't get enough of it. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like fruit to the eater. Amen. Hallelujah. But what God said, anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Amen. We'll deal more with that in just a moment with the help of the Lord. Honesty is the beginning of true blessing. If we want God's best for our lives and for our churches, we must be honest with God and let God, Nathan, be honest with us.
Amen. Amen.
What do we really want from this meeting? Now, we can go through a course, and Brother Tim and I can come, and the churches have been so gracious to let us come, but we can come and have a series of meetings. 5 and 6 days. But what do you want from God? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord. Jesus is knocking at the door of the church. He's knocking at the door of the church. I believe the Lord Jesus is knocking at the door of the church because of our apathy. Our apathy. We've become lethargic. This world has affected us. And I hate to say it, the world will get off on you quicker than you'll get off on it.
That's right.
And the effect of the world, just being out, Brother John, in the world system, Brother Stephen, being out from day to day, among the worldly activities will dampen our fervor for the Lord. Amen. We got two that's honest at least. Apathy. He said that you're neither hot nor cold. You're neither cold nor hot. Here's three spiritual temperatures that I notice in the Word of God. First of all, a burning heart. A burning heart that's on fire for God. Luke 24, verse 32, you remember the truth from the Word of God. They're walking along the road of Emmaus. Two disciples. We don't know exactly who they are. It could have been a man and his wife. It could have been two men. Whatever it was, two disciples are walking along, and the Lord comes and joins them. And he begins to talk to them, amen. And they begin to describe all the things that happened and the master's being crucified. And he began to open their understanding toward the scriptures, amen. And then he broke bread with them. And God opened their eyes that it was the Lord. And he was taken up out of their sight, amen. But listen, friend, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? I preached one time, Brother Vadis, amen, on the need for a holy heartburn.
That'd be good, yeah.
Hey man, we need a holy heartburn this week that Rolaids can't even
right.
Talk about. Their hearts are burning within us, amen. Hallelujah, about the glorious truths that he speaks to our hearts, amen.
Hallelujah.
We need a burning heart.
Yes, sir.
Then listen, friend, it's not only a burning heart, but listen, friend, there is a cold heart, amen. A cold heart. The Bible says, and because iniquity that shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. Is this world having an effect on your heart, believer? It is if you're out in the world. Now, you might be in some, I mean, Brother Moore might be some, he might be in some kind of cocoon or something, amen. He goes from church and gets in a cocoon somewhere, amen. Maybe a hyperbaric chamber, amen, hallelujah. Listen. But I'm going to tell you what, if you get in this world at all, it's going to make you feel quite dirty. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to dampen your heart toward the things of God. So you end up having a cold heart. Do you not realize that iniquity's abounding? Do you not realize that sin is on the rise? Do you not realize, amen, things are not getting better, but they're waxing worse and worse? And we as the church of the living God are right in the middle of it, Brother Dan. And I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, it will affect us. Amen. It'll affect us. It'll get us tepid. Brother Dan said, "They would you care for a cup of coffee?" And all the people that are right with God said, "Amen." I said, "Yes, sir, I sure would." But just like we experienced yesterday and the temperature was dropping, it don't take long, amen, to get in that kind of atmosphere that your beverage soon gets very cool. I don't want to have a cold heart for the Lord. I want to have a burning heart for the Lord. Amen. Then we see three spiritual temperatures. A cold heart, a burning heart, and then a lukewarm heart. This is what the Lord condemns them about. See, the lukewarm Christian, get this, is comfortable and complacent. Comfortable and complacent. You know what God's doing? Knocking at the door of your cold, complacent, lukewarm heart. Comfortable and complacent. They do not realize their need. Wow. All of our churches don't think they have in need of nothing. Oh, that's right. Oh. Shame, bro. You know why, Brother John, Brother Dan? They see, I know they don't think that. They quit having revivals altogether.
Go ahead. That's right. You're exactly right.
We don't have revivals. Now, I'm not just for having a meeting, just for having the sake of having a meeting, amen. But I'm going to tell you what, we ought to not give up on having revival.
That's right.
Amen. They don't even bother having a meeting.
That's right.
Or who they have in, amen, wouldn't revive a Billy Goat.
Yes, sir.
Amen. This crowd that don't believe in repentance, right, don't believe in Bible salvation, they ain't going to help nobody.
No, sir.
But we like that. It keeps us comfortable. Is everybody okay? Is everybody comfortable? There's nobody irritated, is there? And we want to soothe them, amen. And I'm going to tell you one thing, friend. You need to have a revival or a funeral. Because that's what you'll have.
Amen.
This church, Black Creek Baptist Church, needs a revival or set it up for a funeral. Because that's what's going to happen. It's going to die. It's going to die. If we don't have revival.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir, bro. That's true. You're right.
God help us. But I tell you, we rejoice when we hear about people getting born again and getting saved by the grace of God. But I'm still hungry. I'm still hungry. There's others that need to be saved. But when our hearts get cold and complacent and callous, you know what happens? You get critical. You get critical. And you get cutting. Amen. And listen, friend, if you're not careful, amen, your heart will be as cold as a turkey snood. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cold. Turkey snood, you know, it hangs on which beat.
Yep.
You ever seen them snoods? That thing, something else? Amen. What is the purpose of a snood? I mean, you just pull it up, then it goes.
Amen. I mean, that hell get as red, white, blue. Amen. I mean, I've seen them. I mean, they be so vivid across the field. Amen. And I am actually coveting, amen, to be on the other side. Oh. I love turkey hunting, amen. Hallelujah. I love the turkey hunt. But I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're not careful, you'll get as cold as a tater wedge.
Yes, sir.
Sitting right in the house of God, going about business and activities, amen.
Oh, yes.
Is God knocking at the door of your heart, wanting in because of your apathy? He's knocking at the door of the church, amen, because of their attitude and arrogancy. The Bible says, because thou sayest. They were very self-righteous, but they were ignorant of their own self, amen. See, the Bible tells us, amen, that listen, friend, it retains sin in the heart. The Bible says in John chapter 9, the Gospel of John chapter 9 and verse number 39. John chapter 9, verse number 39. He said, and Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard those words and said also unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth.
Right.
That sounds like a message in and of itself.
Yes, sir.
People are ignorant. They're very self-righteous. They say, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. So it manifests itself in self-confidence. You remember what Peter said. Peter, amen, a disciple of the Lord. Jesus said, all are going to flee. All are going to forsake me, amen. Peter said, not I. I'll never forsake thee. John 13, verse 37, Peter said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. Next you see him, amen, by the fire with the wicked, and he's cursing and denying the Lord. I don't know him. I'm not, but your speech berateth thee, amen. I'm not one of them. But we can say a lot of haughty words many times. I'll never do that. But for the grace of God, you wouldn't be here tonight.
That's exactly right.
We get awful haughty and look down our nose and forget where God brought us from.
That's right.
Look at them out there. Look at all what they're involved in. Amen. It wasn't too many years down the road God pulled you out of the same muck and mire and slime. And if it ain't for the grace of God and God keeping your flesh under subjection, you can go right back there. Amen.
Yes, sir. Exactly right.
You better not tempt God.
Don't do it.
You better not have self-confidence, amen, and say, I'll never do that. There's been better men than me and you, amen.
Yes, sir.
That their family's a shambles tonight.
Uh-huh.
Their homes all broke up.
Uh-oh.
Their children, amen, are in abominable sins.
That's right.
You better watch what you say in your own self-righteousness. God was knocking at the door of the church because of their attitude and arrogancy. I tell you what, I see sometimes so-called believers, that we're so haughty, it makes God see. I don't know how God does anything with hardly any of us. Think we've arrived, set ourselves up on a pedestal. And may I say this, sometimes preachers are the world's worst.
Uh-oh.
Meat can't start till I show up. Some of them, amen, think they're of such utmost of self-importance, amen, they can't show up till they preach.
the night of they preach. They don't need anybody else's preaching. They just show up when they're supposed to preach. I was preaching one time at a large meeting, amen, and I said, some of you preachers have been berating us and some of us young preachers about being in the altar. I said, when's the last time you've been in an altar?
That's right.
I never see you down here. You know what God was about to do to the church of Laodicea? He said, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. You know, it's serious, a matter of having a revival, amen. In these last days before the Lord Jesus comes back, amen, we better have a stirring of God in our hearts among God's people. And put away all these attitude and arrogancy. We'll not get right. Like I said this morning, there was a few of us here, and this pastor's been faithfully laboring here, but it's amazing sometimes how we can get all out of sorts. We say how much we love God, amen, and then hate everybody else. Well, I love people. It's the humans I can't stand, amen. And that ain't right, amen.
That's right.
I don't care if I agree with you on every mark or what. If you are saved by the grace of God, God can give me a grace to love you, amen, as a brother or sister in Christ.
Yes, amen. That's good, brother.
But we'll be so arrogant, we ain't going to get right with God. We ain't going to stand up. Oh, buddy, I ain't standing up before the church and confessing nothing.
That's good.
You may have to have revival.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And here's a good rule to follow. Secret sin, confess it secretly to God. Mm-hmm. But public sin and public arrogance needs to be confessed. And you hardly ever see that anymore where there's any confession before the church.
Right. That's right. You're right.
So we cause divisions and schisms and little qualms in the church, amen, and just go about our merry way. Quote 1 John 1, 9, and here we go. But the sad thing of it is we get so arrogant. I'm rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. We can have little issues in our home and everything else and come and sing the hymns just like we always do and never get right with one another. And I'm just telling you, you're not right with God.
Yes.
Good, brother.
Amen. Guess it's about time to quit, ain't it?
No, sir.
Amen. Lord, help us. He's knocking at the door of the church about our attitude and arrogancy. I wish I could say, let me be honest and not try to kill my testimony. I wish I could always say I've never let the sun go down upon my wrath. But I can't say that. But I tell you what, God will continue to eat you up about that till you get right with your family and your spouse.
I don't believe it.
Hey. I've stood up and publicly confessed my faults, amen, and publicly confessed my sin before I've ever preached. I'd not be right with somebody, amen, in the congregation. God ain't going to touch me. God ain't going to anoint me, amen, until I get that arrogancy out.
You're right.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. You want revival? God's knocking. God's knocking at the door of the church. He's knocking at the door of the church of our affections. He says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, set your affections, Colossians 3:2, on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is here with Christ in God. The problem is we're not dead.
Uh-huh.
We're very much alive. Well, I'll give him a piece of my mind. Be careful. You don't have much to dole out. And I'll get the last word. And there's been a lot of couples that said they'd get the last word in. And they did at a divorce court. That helped a lot, didn't it? Now, I'm not hampering and hammering on sinners tonight, except sinners that have been saved by the grace of God. But I'll tell you who needs revival. It's this crowd that's saved.
Right, brother. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I agree.
You better watch them sharp and cutting words. I found out over 22 years of marriage, but that's nothing compared to some. But you get too familiar with your mate. One time, I told my wife I was sorry about an issue, some cutting words. She said, "Don't worry, I'm used to it." Then we can come in, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. We can go right on through the routine, can't we? We know the Baptist mechanics and never get right. And that thing, Brother Moore, it festers and it pulls and it grows. Better get that thing right. Set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Because thou sayest, I'm rich. See, the Bible says, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Bible still says, 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But whoso doeth the will of my Father abideth forever.
Amen.
We're still not supposed to love this stinking rotten world. And that means the things that are in the world. I appreciate you precious couples, amen, but it'll be a glad day in your life when you get a lot of these things of the world out of your life. It'll help you. It won't automatically make you a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? Christ-like. But it'll help you along the way. Amen. May God help us. Where are your affections at? He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. Amen. I'm telling you, where are our affections at? Where's your heart at? You can be in church many times and your mind be a million miles from here. And I'm not too naive to know that there's some that just come out of duty and not a delight. Now I'm going to go to church anyway. Amen. I went to church when I've been right with God, and I went to church when I wasn't right with God. Because I just need church. In fact, I go to church all the time. I'm just that bad off. Amen. And listen, I'm going to tell you, friend, but I'm going to tell you, where is your heart tonight? Where do you want your affections placed? And he knocks at the door of the church about our affections. And here's where it gets down to the nitty gritty. He knocks the church because of really authority. He said, behold, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Who is at the door? The Lord Jesus. And the problem was that Christ no longer had the preeminence in this church of Laodicea.
In Ephesus, many had left their first love in Revelation 2 and verse number 4. So he said in Revelation 2, 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In Revelation 3 and verse number 20, he said, if any man hear my voice. It seems like there is a declension here. He that hath an ear, and he said, if any man hear my voice. The problem in this last days of the church age or period, there ain't many that hear. A lot of sinners, there ain't a lot of sinners that hear his voice anymore. And what an indictment that people that claim to be saved by the grace of God and they never hear his voice.
Come on.
So God counsels them. They needed gold tried in the fire. They needed it refined. They needed it purified. This brother was talking about this morning. And listen, revival is all about raking the dross off. The fire brings the impurities to the top and you rake the dross off. And you say, brother, I'll never be pure refined gold. When the Bible talks about that we're going to walk on street, it's street of gold. It's pure transparent because it's fully refined, has no impurities in it. You say, Brother Rose, I'll never be like that. But I'm going to tell you what, God is wanting to rake that dross off you so much that nobody sees you. All they see is the Lord. That's all they see is the Lord. Wouldn't it be good if God revived our hearts here at the Anchor Baptist Church and the Black Creek Baptist Church and the local churches that are represented here, that somebody says, you know, you remind me of somebody. You remind me of the Lord. You characterize the Lord. You have the Spirit. You, Brother Nick, you have the Spirit of the Lord. Wouldn't that be a switch? Amen. He said they need gold tried in the fire. They needed the right apparel. They needed the abundance that come from him. And they needed the right apparel. He said, I'm going to clothe you that you're not naked. Amen. Uh-huh. Buddy, I'll tell you what, some Baptists need that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is the truth. Yeah. You say, well, I kind of like it. Well, listen, friend, God ain't pleased with it. If God don't take no pleasure in the legs of a man, amen, he must believe you ought to keep your clothes on. Amen. So he says, I'm going to clothe you that you're not naked, amen. And then he says, you need that anointing for the eyes. I'm going to anoint your eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And this is what the eye salve is, amen.
Amen.
The preaching of the word of God is what's going to open your eyes and keep your eyes clear. Yes. You know those sheep, amen, would get all kinds of infections in their eyes. And that shepherd had a compound that he would anoint the eyes, amen, because them bugs would get in there. They'd try to lay larvae and everything in there in the moist areas. And they'd make sure they'd anointed the eye. You know what the problem is? We don't see correctly, amen, because we let the larvae of the world get in our eyes. So we need God to anoint our eyes with eye salve that we may see. God's knocking. He's knocking at the door of the church. It's sad that he's on the outside and he's wanting to be let in. If you're saved by the grace of God, listen, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. But he may be present, but he may not have the preeminence at this time in your life. That's why we need revival. That's why we need to be challenged. I like all kinds of preaching. I like hard preaching.
Amen. I like preaching against sin. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. Amen. See, I got all these folks from Black Creek, and it got me all stirred up. Amen. This evening, I was preaching so sweet, Brother Damon, today. Amen. But I tell you what, that's not the truth. We need revival.
Amen.
And that's what this is all about. Amen. Stir up your hearts and warm your hearts to the things so you can get in tune with God. He don't need to be on the outside of our lives. He needs to be right dead center in the middle.
Amen.
May God help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, preaching of your word. We thank you, Lord, that it challenges us, and Lord, it moves us to get right with you. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you bless this precious pastor. Bless the meeting this week, Lord, not for our sakes, but Lord, that you might receive honor and glory. Lord, please meet with us over at the Black Creek Baptist Church. May we go away and say God has met with us during this week. And Lord, we beg you, Lord, to help us save the lost, revive the saints, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Brother Cassio. Ahem.